Good morning, my friends. This is Missionary James Robinette with Mission East Africa, Uganda. And once again, by the gracious will of our great God and Savior, it is my real pleasure and joy to look to the Scripture with you once again this Lord's Day morning. Dear friends, we're continuing in our verse-by-verse exposition in Ephesians chapter 6. Today, once again, we'll begin in verse 10. That's Ephesians 6, verse 10. Please turn there as you can in your Bibles and read along with me. Praise God. I'm a missionary with Mission East Africa, Uganda, and you can learn more about our ministry at our blogspot. That's missionafricajk.blogspot.ug. And our contact number is 0782-652-143. Please feel free to give us a call as the Lord might lead you to. Well, dear friends, hear the word of the Lord now in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. May the Lord add his blessing to his holy word. Friends, let us pray. Father in heaven, once again we cry out for grace, for illumination, that you will open up these precious words to our hearts and minds, that you will open the word of God to us spiritually, that we may discern and understand the great things that you communicate to us here. And then, Lord, as we understand the precious truth of the word of God, enable us by your grace, by the working of your Spirit, to apply these precious truths in our lives. And then finally, to be strong in the Lord and in the power of your might, as you instruct us to. We thank you, Lord, for the spiritual love, the grace, the spiritual power, your powerful love that comes to us as we trust you and look to you and walk with you. And so continue your great work of transforming our lives, taking us from glory to glory as by the Lord, as we receive your word once again this day. And bless my listeners. I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. My friends, we're talking about this issue of spiritual battle. We have been for some weeks now. And last Lord's Day, I shared truth with you about the great strength of God, the power of his might. And I shared some illustrations with you. We talked, for instance, about the power of the sun and how it is that the sun is to us a great and powerful planetary body. But truly, the power of the sun pales in comparison with the greatness of the Creator, who has all power and who has created such a powerful heavenly body. And this leads us again to consider, in this section of verses, the great power of God that we are to access as Christians. Again, the word is clear that God is instructing us to receive his power, be strong in the Lord, receive this might of God so that we may be able to stand in spiritual battle. That is, we may love God and love our neighbor in the midst of the great spiritual conflict, the spiritual war that is raging about us. I want to share the words of a chorus with you. It's called "The Battle Belongs to the Lord in Heavenly Armor" by Jamie Owens Collins as we begin this morning. In heavenly armor we'll enter the land. The battle belongs to the Lord. No weapon that's fashioned against us will stand. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. When the power of darkness comes in like a flood, the battle belongs to the Lord. He's raised up a standard, the power of His blood. The battle belongs to the Lord. When your enemy presses in hard, do not fear. The battle belongs to the Lord. Take courage, my friend. Your redemption is near. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. Praise God. And as I observed the news this morning, I saw a story about terrorist activity in Nairobi. Apparently, at least 6 people were killed just yesterday. I'm recording on Wednesday, and so it was Tuesday when this terrorist activity occurred there, and people died, and many people were injured. At this point, the full details of the story have not surfaced, but this actual warfare, in a sense, this killing, this battle, if you will, really reveals to us the great truth that behind the physical struggle and conflict, war and killing that is all around us in this world, yesterday's example comes immediately to mind now, there is a great spiritual battle that is being waged. And once again, we are to battle as the servants of God in obedience to God. And we are to battle because we are prepared and we believe the truth about God. We hold to the truth of God. This is our battle, to hold to the truth and not allow ourselves to be taken from the truth, but to hold fast to the truth, the glorious gospel of God. And so you can see that the Bible is tremendously important. It is vital, absolutely necessary in spiritual battle, because it is by the truth that we stand. And it is by the truth that all wars will be eventually ended. Praise God. It is by the truth that we stand as loving children and servants, yes, soldiers of God this day. And so, once again, let me remind you that we are not called to battle physically. We are called to spiritual battle, and we wage war as we love God and as we love our neighbors, as we obey God and follow Christ and truly love our neighbor in such a way that we do good to all about us. Praise the Lord. And so it's in heavenly armor that believers overcome. It's in heavenly armor that the Lord is served. It is in heavenly armor that we stand, knowing that God has brought us into His battle with evil. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we stand and give God glory, and we ascribe to Him honor, power, and strength. In fact, we sing glorious praises to Him, because when darkness comes in like a flood, because this is God's battle, we are obedient. We remember the truth of the power of the blood of Christ, which saves us, and we stand in this battle. When the enemy presses in hard, we are not to be afraid, remembering this is the Lord's battle. We take courage, remembering that our final redemption is near and that we fight now. We serve God in love. We serve our neighbor in love as the children of God, and in this sense, as the soldiers of God. Praise the Lord. And so may God help you to stand in His battle today, because you are clad in heavenly armor, dear friend. We want to continue to take a bit more of a specific look at some of the great truth in these verses. And let's begin today by considering more fully the power of His might there in Ephesians 6, verse 10. We are to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, or the authority of His power. Praise God. The simple truth is that our strength, a Christian's strength, comes from Christ Jesus, who has all authority and in fact is called the Almighty God. God the Son is called in Scripture the Almighty. He is the Most High God. It says in Revelation 1 verse 8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who was and is to come, the Almighty. Here, Jesus Christ calls himself the Almighty. Now, this is such a great verse because it reveals so clearly the deity of Christ. That is, he is truly, fully God. He is God the Son. And in verse 7 of Revelation chapter 1, we see that Christ is the pierced one who has washed believers with his blood. The Son of Man gave his blood. Praise God. He is also called the Almighty. And remember that spiritually and biblically, the word authority means the ability to lead, to rule over, and to punish disobedience and to reward obedience. And so the declaration, the power of his might or the authority of his power, simply means that Christ Jesus is the Most High God. He is the Almighty God, and that he has all authority in his great power. Notice that he, of course, has power, and he has an authority of power. That is, he rewards obedience with all power, praise God, and he punishes disobedience with all power. And so he is working toward us, dear saints of God, with all of his power. He is the omnipotent, all-powerful God, God the Son. And he is rewarding our obedience with all power, praise God. And he is protecting us in spiritual battle. He is preserving us in his grace with all power, praise the Lord. And so we are encouraged that this strength and power that we stand in is in the very authority of Jesus Christ, the highest authority. He is indeed the Most High God, and his power is absolutely limitless. We find in Acts chapter 16 the story of a slave girl who was possessed with a spirit of divination, that is, a demon. And the demon cries out in her, through her, that the apostles that the demon recognizes are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation. Praise God. And so we see here that the demon calls God the Most High God. And we also see that this is an equivalent expression that is given to Jesus Christ, because these disciples are also the servants of Jesus Christ. And we see that in the glorious truth that Paul is annoyed at this activity of the evil one. The evil one is proclaiming the truth. God is Most High. He is proclaiming the truth in the sense that Paul and the disciples are servants of the Most High God. But the very fact that the demon is proclaiming anything is a hindrance to Paul. It annoys him. And so Paul, in his apostolic power, conducts a true miracle and casts out the spirit from this girl. And he casts out the spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. This is an equivalent to the name of the Most High God. Notice the equivalency. Scripture's declaration of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Most High God. He has all power. So that this phrase, the power of his might or the authority of his power, is the very power of the Almighty God that comes to the Christian. The context is really speaking about the truth that this power is ours as we are clad, as we put on the whole armor of God. Praise the Lord. In other words, such power is ours as we put on the whole armor of God. In this, we are able to stand against the schemings of the devil. We'll talk more about the whole armor of God. For our purposes today, this almighty power of the Almighty Christ comes to us and is effective in our lives, dear Christian, in context, in the verses, as we put on the whole armor of God. Now, we see in this that we are not to be partially armed or partially clad in the armor of God, but we are to put on the whole armor of God. This is a direct instruction to us that we must take heed to the whole counsel of God, and that the whole counsel of God is a protection to us, as it were, an armor that a soldier, a Roman soldier, would wear for battle. And so, we must acquire all of the counsel of God. Praise the Lord. And we find the entire counsel of God in the entirety of the Bible. Once again, see the importance of reading and understanding, knowing, growing in knowledge of the entire Bible. If it is that we are partially clad in this armor, partially armed, meaning that we are lacking certain truths, then indeed we are made vulnerable. And if we are only partially clad, you can easily see that we could be wounded quite probably. To be partially clad is to be probably wounded. And so we are to put on the armor. It must be put on, these verses tell us, and wholly able to stand in this fierce battle, this spiritual battle in which God has placed us. And so let me encourage you once again, put on the whole armor. Seek God in the whole counsel of His teaching and in the ministry of the Spirit, in the entirety of the Scripture, dear friend, that you may be fully clad in the whole armor of God. Praise the Lord. This expression to put on is also found in Ephesians 4 in verses 22 through 24. There he writes, put on the new man, which is created by God in true righteousness and holiness. There's also instruction to put off the old man, that is the ways of the old fallen person, concerning the former conduct which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And so here the new man is to be put on, the old man is to be put off, and again in Ephesians 6, armor must be put on. Praise the Lord. It's interesting that in Ephesians 4, Paul speaks of true righteousness and holiness, and there is ever a need to know and remember that there must be truth and true practice, because we are so influenced by evil and the darkness and deception which is prevalent, which dominates the fallen world and is so common. We are so easily influenced by the world which lies in darkness and deception, that we are in need of constant reminder to truth and true righteousness and holiness. Praise the Lord. Simply, this expression to put on refers to the idea in Ephesians 4 and here in Ephesians 6 of being dressed in, of being clad, having the proper clothing on. Praise God. Having ourselves fully clothed. Again, isn't this a wonderful description, especially of armor, of spiritual armor, that it must be put on fully. Praise the Lord. And it says here that the Christian is to be renewed in the spirit of his mind. Praise God. That's found in Ephesians chapter 4. Now, I'm mentioning this because of the connection to putting on the new man who is created by God in true righteousness and holiness. And this really applies to the armor. That is, the armor is a spiritual armor. We've made the point several times, this is not physical armor, but the armor represents the truth of the Bible and various aspects. And so the truth must be put on like armor, like clothes. It must be clad about us. And as this putting on happens, there is also a renewing in the spirit of our minds. In other words, truth affects us in this way. Truth renews our minds. And it's interesting that the phrase, the spirit of his mind, is understood to mean the mind which is of man's spiritual component. Man is spirit and flesh, remember. And so the superior power of the man, of a person, is his soul. And so this renewing of the mind occurs spiritually. This refers to the spiritual truth that we are spiritual beings. And so the truth renews our minds in this process too of putting on the new man, putting off the old man, and in putting on the whole armor of God. Praise the Lord. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 22, we see this truth, the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Praise the Lord. Again, renewing of the mind is a spiritual work. It's of the spirit. Putting on the whole armor of God is a spiritual work. It is of the spirit. Praise God. And so, similarly there in Ephesians chapter 6, we put on God's armor. He provides it, praise the Lord, and we are to apply it, praise God. Again, God provides the truth. We must receive it and obey it, praise the Lord. So that the believer stands, it says there in verse 11, that is, he does not fall in this spiritual battle, this fight for life, if you will, this fight for God's glory, this fight for love, God's love, love to our neighbor. And so he stands against the wiles or the schemings of the devil. Conflict is inevitable in this fallen world, dear friend. We long for the time when all conflict will be resolved, when in glory there will never again be conflict, no opposition to God or to the will of God, no sin in any measure. But for now, there is conflict, and so we must be ready for the conflict, standing in battle, not falling in battle. To fall in this battle is to be severely wounded, perhaps even to die. What does that mean spiritually? Well, it means simply that believers can be wounded severely in a spiritual sense, which is the devil's intention. He is against them to cause them to dishonor God. And so they can be severely wounded and sin and dishonor God. And to fall ultimately in battle is to die, perhaps to apostatize. We think of Judas, who was a follower of Jesus, a professed believer in Jesus, and one of the chosen apostles of Jesus Christ. Judas the betrayer, Judas the traitor, who sold out the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of glory, who had a great knowledge of Christ, in a sense, fell in battle, died in this conflict that was being waged for his soul. He apostatized. He turned completely from the truth and committed suicide. He died in his sins. He's called the son of perdition. And so in the example of Judas, we see apostasy. A true believer will not apostatize. Judas was never a regenerated man, a true believer. And so we see the truth that a true believer can be severely wounded in battle and could fall in battle too. His life is so compromised with sin and disobedience that he is in this sense fallen in battle. Well, friends, there's a lot of truth to consider here. We'll continue next Lord's Day as God gives us grace. Let me encourage you to put on the whole armor of God and to stand in battle. Again, we're learning. There's a lot to learn. And so let's look to the Lord next Lord's Day morning as he gives us grace and learn of the precious ways of Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, we thank you for your grace. Bless the word of God to my hearers' hearts and lead us forward, Lord. Teach us the great things and may we be clad in the armor of God, putting on the whole armor of God, that your mighty power and strength will be available to us and that we may stand in it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. And so, my friends, until next Lord's Day morning, may the Lord bless you.